Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. Pray that you would bless this time around your word and in your house, lifting up your praises. And Lord, call out our prayer requests. And I pray, Lord, that you would answer them all according to your will, not just the ones that's written down, but our private ones as well. Please be with our absent brethren, with John McGowan and Steve and Norman and Will and Dr. Shine and Frank, wherever it is they might be. Excuse me. I pray you, Lord, your good hand upon us all. We love you and thank you. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and your company at this service. Amen. 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 Let's start with number 3 in the wee black book. Number 3 in the wee black book is All People That on Earth Do Dread.
Thank you.
you want to take and turn to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 7, Judges chapter 7, we're actually going to be reading from Judges chapter 8 for our Bible study or message this evening. So if you want, if you have a wee bookmark you want to put in there, it will save you having to go looking again whenever it comes round to opening our Bibles. But we're in Judges chapter 7, we're speaking about Jerubbaal or Gideon. And we were actually reading and studying out of Judges chapter 6 last week. Excuse me, it's not the company. And we are continuing on through 7 with our Bible reading this evening, and then 8 with our finishing off the life and times of Gideon. The word of God says in Judges chapter 7, "Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return, and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped, will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto the tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets, and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands, to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran, and cried, and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta, and Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Mahola, unto Tabath, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethphar and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Bethphar and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb on the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. Amen. Thank you for your patience through those 25 verses. There'll only be another 20 to read. And then we'll be that'll be us for our message. Just want to remind you all about the Wee Green prayer list. I'll not be Does anybody have any prayer requests they'd like to add to it? Yes, Mrs. Bradford. Yes. We have relatives called Catalanos over in America. Dave Catalano's a nice guy. He's an ex-Roman Catholic. And his sister sadly passed away in her 80s, was it?
76.
76. So please do pray for the family. Unfortunately, the sister never got saved. And it's causing a little bit of grief to those that in the family didn't know. Please pray for the Catalans. Anything else we need to add to our prayer list? Amen. Do pray for Norma. He's not well. And everybody else that couldn't make it this evening, please pray for them too. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we will sing another song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the life and health and strength that you've given us, for watching over us and bearing with us, Lord, through all the things that go on in our lives and all the time of our lives. And I pray you, Lord, that you wouldn't be done with us, but that you would continue on with us. We do pray especially today for the Capilano family as they mourn the loss of a sister, Lord. And unfortunately, Lord, the loss of a lost sister. I pray you, Lord, for comfort for the whole family, but especially for those that know and understand that that is a soul that's gone for. Please, I pray you be with them. And Lord, even now, give those that are saved in the family an opportunity to speak to lost ones. Please be with us, Lord, as well. And I pray your blessing upon us. Please be also be with Norman and Steve and John McGowan and well, Christine and Mary Ann, Dr. Shank and Frank, or Colin too, wherever he is, whatever he's doing. I pray you, Lord, please, for your help, for your patience, certainly. for your wisdom, Lord, and for overcoming power as we continue on with them. Please put your good hand upon those that lead the country, Lord. I pray you please for opposition for all of those that oppose you and your people. And I pray you, Lord, for blessing upon those that bless you and your people. For Nigel Farage, for an opportunity for our country, Lord, to improve again, and for Donald Trump in America, Lord, to help improve America as well. Father, there's a lot going on, but it's just like you said in your word. It's a whole different story whenever you're living it instead of just reading it. But I pray for wisdom and strength for each one of us. And Lord, for all those that heard the gospel, I pray you, Lord, whether it's a leaflet or a word in their ears, please, Lord, I pray you this day, would you speak the souls of sin and judgment to come and encourage those that know you already. I also lay the John Henry family at your feet and pray that you would work there too. I love you and thank you. And we pray for all of these things. I know there's a bunch of other stuff, but I pray you for those two. And Lord, for most importantly, for your will to be done in these last of the last days. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Right, Mrs. Bradfield, would you like to play Ask, Seek and Knock 357, hymn number 357, if you will. This was one of our picks for this evening, Stepping in the Light. If you're able, let's stand with me as we sing it. 394. I will give that a shot. Based on what the Bible says about the title. So we are in Judges chapter 8. We're going to read 23 verses. We'll be well judged by the time we're done this evening. Amen. Continuing on from where we finished off about 10 minutes ago, the Word of God says in Judges chapter 8, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide or argue with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you?" Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, "Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." And the princes of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army?" And Gideon said, "Therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." And he went up thence to Penuel, and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth have answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, "When I come again in peace, I will break down this tower." Now Zeba and Zalmunna, the two kings, were in Karkar, and their host with them about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in the tents on the east of Noba and Jogbaha, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon the son of Joash returned from battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth, and said, "Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine men that are weary?" And he took the elders of the city, and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel, and slew the men of the city. And then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, "What manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor?" And they answered, "As thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king." And he said, "They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you." And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, "Up and slay them." But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength." And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, "Rule thou over us, both you and thy son, and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian." And Gideon said unto them, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we will continue on. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again that we still have the freedom to meet together and to worship and praise you. I pray you, Lord, please, for your good hand upon us, that you would watch over us and keep us and help us this day with our understanding of your scriptures and people as well, and even ourselves, Lord, as we take this time in your worship. We thank you for loving us and for saving us, and Lord, for that free gift, that offer of heaven being there for everybody. Please bless this time, Lord, and please be one of our number and help us as we read and study. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Amen. Just a quick recap. Not that you need it, but just a quick recap. As we read this portion of God's word, Gideon has killed over 120,000 men with 300. Now, I don't know what that works out at, but you're talking about a lot of men. I think that's like 40, maybe 400 men with each one of his own men, and their arms must have been really tired. On average, I think it was more like a lot of them killed each other, but I'm sure they had to put a few to the sword. And he is chasing what remains of these men back across certain parts of the country. And as he goes, he asks the local kingdoms for some food. And they refuse him. He asks two of them. And he says to one, because you didn't give me any, I'm going to teach you a lesson with these thorns and briars. And the other one, he says, he was going to tear down the tower and kill the men on it. And that's exactly what happens, even before the end of the day. And in fact, Gideon's victories are so profound and so amazing that the very last couple of verses that we read here, verses 22 and 23, they tell us what is on the minds of all of the men that follow him. We want you to rule over us. We want you to tell us what to do and when to do it. We want you and we want your son and we want your grandson to guide us. And I like what Gideon says. He says, I am not going to rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Now we know as we read on from Judges to 1 Kings and 2 Kings, we know that eventually the people got their wish to have a king to rule over them. And it didn't go so well for them then, and it didn't go so well for the kings, and it ended up with the splitting up of the kingdom. But at this moment in time, Gideon was only a temporary judge. He didn't rule over everybody. He acted as God put his hand on him. Now, what Gideon did do, he made an ephod, a thing that was to represent God and the 12 tribes, and he put it in the city called Ophrah in verse 27, you can see there. And people went there and they worshipped that instead of worshipping God. And whenever you worship idols instead of worshipping God, even with the best of intentions, it always comes back to haunt you. So he didn't finish just as well, and he caused people a bit of bother with that. But generally speaking, Gideon did pretty well. Now, the whole question was, or that came to my mind, why would people? Now, I want to ask you a question. If we were the children of Israel, and the bridges weren't across the Foyle, and we wanted to go across the Foyle, and so whenever Christians came up to the edge of the Foyle, the water opened up and we were able to cross that. Everybody was able to cross that, all the Christians. And even as we crossed, there was a huge pillar of fire that went before us across the water. And everywhere that we were to go, there was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of fire by day. And all the people that tried to take advantage of us, eventually, they were robbed. Everything that they believed in was turned upside down. And it even came to the bit that their own children were dying simply because they were giving us a hard time. And whenever their children were killed, we went and asked, you know, could you give us some, let me borrow some money? And they said, look, just take everything. Our lives are not worth living. And they would give you their wallets, and they would give you their bank cards, and they would give you the PIN numbers, say, look, take whatever you need. And we were able to go to the banks, and we were emptying out their bank accounts and walking away with it for no reason other than their hearts were broken. And then we legged it back again to the watery side. And all the army and people with guns and sticks and stuff that came after us, they were swallowed up in the foil. And I'm sure they weren't killed with the amount of water, but probably with the diseases that would be in the foil. We'd be thinking, you know, that's pretty amazing. God did that for us. And then, as we went on, the Lord just kept providing, just giving us our food. We never had to go to the shops. Didn't have to buy food, didn't have to buy clothes. Sometimes whenever people got a bit uppity, the Lord had to directly intervene. So there were a couple of fellas decided that they would rather run the place rather than the man that God has chosen. So God opened up the earth and swallowed him and his whole house. Or them and their houses. Even sent a bunch of snakes. But made sure that Moses had a snake to stand on a staff in the middle of the water side, and everyone could see that. And anyone, any wee town or anything that we came across that was against God, God just delivered it into our hands. And did miracle after miracle and gave us victory after victory, oftentimes without us even having to put our hands on a knife or a sword. Who would you rather have ruling over you? Would you rather have, who's wrong? Keir Starmer, the very left-wing, pro-communist, pro-socialist, pro-abortion, pro-Muslim, anti-family, anti-Christian, would you rather have him ruling over you, or would you rather continue on with the God that did so many wonderful things for you? You and I would say, we would say, well, we'd rather have God, because we have seen what God does, we have heard what God does, but we've even seen with our own eyes the great victory that we've just had. I would rather have God running over me. You would think that would be the sensible thing. And it is the sensible thing to see it so. Because there is a part of us, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that has an affinity for God, that wants fellowship with God, that loves holy things. And so if we speak about God, there's a part of us loves to hear about God. However, if we speak about the things of men, about the partying and the immorality and the drug use and the excesses that people indulge in, we might not have any interest in that because as Christians, we don't have an affinity for it anymore. I got to thinking about this over the past few days. They say you had a particular sin that you loved. You loved to do drugs. And you came to church, and a good gospel preacher will preach about sin and the trouble it's going to cause you and the hell and the lake of fire that it's going to take you to, but he will also preach about being saved from it. If the person has no desire to escape the grip that drugs can have on a person's life, All they will hear is, we're going to hell because we do drugs. That's it. Because they have no affinity, no inclination, no desire, no love for the God of the Bible and for his promises. And it's the same with, if you have no notion about changing your ways or getting saved, that will always be the way, whether it's alcohol or immorality or theft or murders or any of these things that we carry in our hearts, that people do carry in their hearts. We only remember the bits of the message that pertain to us, that hit upon the things that are dear to us. And so people will say, he was talking about me the whole service. He was talking about me stealing, and he was talking about me lying, and he was talking about me fighting, and he was talking about me cursing and swearing. I'm not going back to that church. And that's the only part they remember, the only part they hear. But a Christian, yes, will hear about the awful sin, but also about the wonderful promises of God. And so a lot of lost souls, they never hear the invitation, the promise of peace with God and a new life in heaven. All that they remember hearing is that their favorite sin is wrong. I had this, and I may have told you about the lay preacher in the car park. And I spent, how long were we up at the present? Like about a half an hour, 35 or 40 minutes. And I do preach about hell. And I do warn people that if they do not like to hear the warnings of sin and judgment to come, if they do not like to hear that Jesus saves and that irks the life out of them, the odds are that they're not going to heaven. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you turn away from your sin and trust Christ as your Savior, you will go to heaven, and God will make sure that you do, because he'll keep you in the palm of his hand. The lay preacher only heard about sin, judgment to come, and hell in the lake of fire. Didn't hear about the promise of salvation. He didn't hear about heaven for those that would repent of their sin and trust Christ as their Savior, because he has no notion, no inclination towards God, forgiveness, or salvation. I don't know about you, but have you ever seen little children trying to blame somebody else for something that they did? You've got half a smile on there, John. I reckon Stephen did that. That was John did that. Poor Frank, he was all by himself, and he had to take responsibility for the things that he did wrong. But little children, they don't automatically get accountability built into them. Except maybe Monica. I heard that she, as a young child, she... Anyway, we'll not go into that. But normally speaking, little children will not accept blame for anything. I don't know if anybody has ever seen some of those YouTube skits where this little girl or little boy, maybe 2 years old, is looking at their mummy and daddy, and their face is covered in chocolate. And mummy says, or daddy says, did you take some of the cake? No. And their face is covered in chocolate, and you know very well that they ate the cake. And they refuse to be accountable for that. They will do anything except the right thing to stop feeling bad about the conviction of sin. And it is the Holy Spirit. When we were reading in Joel, I think it's Joel 2 or Joel 3, where it talks about the Spirit of God being poured out on all flesh. For those that are saved, it gives us comfort and strength and all the many blessings of God. But for those that are lost, it convicts them of sin and it troubles the conscience. And a wise person would know maybe from a half-heard lesson that now is the time to call upon God. Because for years I haven't called upon God and nothing has changed. So they say the definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for a different outcome. God says, call upon me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. In the words of the Apostle John, John chapter 3, only three verses away from the most famous verse of Scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is what John 3:19 says. This is the condemnation. This is the problem that mankind has. Light is come into the world. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They can't see or hear or understand the love, forgiveness, and salvation of God, because when they hear the gospel of God, all that they feel is a conviction of sin. They are reminded over and over that they're wrong, and they don't like it. Men and women, boys and girls, everyone has a conscience, and whenever it's pricked, most people try and throw the blame on somebody else. Even Adam and Eve. Adam said, it was the woman that you gave me. And whenever it came to Eve, Eve said, it was the snake that you made, God. In other words, they tried to blame God, like so many other people do. As far as following God goes, a soul just needs to admit to God, not to the whole world, but to God, that I'm wrong. I need you to save me, for I am a sinner. Would you please save me? You need to do that, and it's done. And after that, you'll get the power to admit that you were wrong to people, because you understand it was the best thing that ever happened to you. Not the worst thing, not the bursting of a little bubble in people's heads that has them believing that they are God. But the best thing was admitting that they were wrong. Most folks, they love their timeouts from God and church and God's righteousness and tithing and praising and doing church stuff. They do. But if God is really your king, you need to be in constant touch with him. Not just whenever we lean on the promise of wherever two or three are gathered together in his name that he'll be there, but we need to be in touch with him at home. Or when we're out walking or driving, we need to be in touch with God. We need to have a face-to-face with God on a regular basis. But you know what happens when you do? God starts speaking to you about your life. God starts speaking to you about your habits, about your clothes, about your job, about your car, about the way you treat people, about the way you are with your spouse, your children, your friends. God starts talking to you. And that makes even Christians feel bad. But God loves you. Many people, even churchgoers, think of God as a vengeful judge. And they think he's just waiting with a fist just to pummel them into the ground when they take a step wrong. And they can't see a loving Father. Because they know in their hearts, even as Christians many times, that they're wrong. We are wrong. And we don't want to let it go. I'm gonna give you a mid-ground stance on that. If you're having a difficulty with something, letting go of something or giving something over to God, and you can't do it, here's what you do whenever you're saying your prayer. Lord, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I am having a lot of trouble doing this. can you please help me? Address it in God's presence and ask for his help. Because sometimes the things that God asks us to do can be tricky. Don't be afraid to ask them. Some folks don't believe that God has a better way. That God can give peace in the heart, and even a purpose, and comfort, and a home in heaven for the endless ages of eternity. And that there's more than enough to go around to keep us going even here and now. They don't want to speak to God and have God speak to them about their standards, or their speech, or the places that they know, or the company that they keep. Don't want that. It's far easier to listen to a man. It's far easier to be one or two steps removed from God, insulated from God's teaching and his help and his love. And that way, there's no danger of feeling bad about your behavior anymore. We need to get close with God, even if it seems a little bit uncomfortable and painful at the start. Get in, talk with God. My goodness, we know that God spoke to him 3, 4, 5, or 6 times and had great victories. He was blessed by God because he trusted God, even in his weak and shaky trust. Do you remember when Gideon left out the fleece and he prayed, "Lord, let the fleece be wet and the ground dry tonight"? And that's exactly what happened, and he wrung the fleece out into a bowl. And the next night he said, "Lord, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet." And that's exactly what happened. And then even after that, the Lord said to Gideon, "Gideon, if you're a wee bit concerned, go down to the camp and listen to them and hear that they're already beaten in their heads and in their hearts." He trusted God a little, and God honored that and showed him great things. And he grew until all of a sudden he found that he was running the country. He was leading the country against their enemies. And God even then was working great miracles. Trust God. Sometimes it's difficult to trust him with the big things because we haven't been trusting him with the little things. So start trusting God with the little thing. If you wonder what a little thing is, ask God when you're saying your prayers. Ask him to help. Ask him to build up your trust. And then whenever he does call you, do what he says. But that doesn't mean you stop using your head. Remember when the children of Ephraim came to Gideon and said, "Why do you not call us for the fight?" And they were going to get really annoyed and maybe attack him even. And Gideon said, "But you're even the very best that we can do. That's like the littlest and least thing that you can do. You've been doing great things. Use your head. You don't have to be stupid, but use your head. Even with everything that God uses, gives you, use it properly. And no matter what happens, always keep your eyes on God. Listen to what he says and obey him in the good times and in the bad. And remember, when God takes you down a certain path, he will lead you, he will see you the whole way through, even if it seems crazy. Gideon went from something like 40 or 50,000 down to 300. Say, "Okay, God, you brought me here. Let's see what you can do." And just remember that regardless of what you have here and now, you'll leave it all behind. And that everything that you take to heaven with you is only what you did for God. So regardless of who you are, whenever the Lord calls, follow him. Not what man says. You would be crazy to follow Keir Starmer. You would be absolutely crazy. Or Joe Biden. You'd be crazy to follow. Or even as far as your eternal things go, Nigel Farage or Donald Trump or a good guy maybe. You would never know what way they were going to change in their hearts and minds, but I will tell you one thing. God's thoughts to his children are always good and loving and kind. And God wants to give his children all good things. So follow God. Amen. Thank you for your patience. I do appreciate it this evening. We're stopping there. And we're going to sing a song. Do we have one picked, or are we all out? We're all out, aren't we? That means I get to pick. Hymn 11, In the Wee Black Book, is immortal, invisible, God only wise. John, we're back to those bunch of hymns that we always sing. Hymn 11, immortal, invisible, that doesn't look like the right one. Remember that you're no respecter of persons. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your free gift of salvation, Lord. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for the Lamb's for the life and our names written on it. Please bless us, Lord, as we part company. Please remember Norma and John McGowan and Steve, for Will and Christine and Mary, and of course, Lord, for Dr. Shane, Frank, and for each of us, and for all those that have heard the gospel and have a chance to be saved. For the John Henry family, Lord, for the Capilano family at this time, and for that lay preacher that turned up at the Crescent Lane, I pray that you would work in all of our lives, Lord. comforting, chastening, directing, whatever, Lord. I will leave these things at your feet, and please don't be done with this, Lord. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.